With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Inside Try Show with Helen Murray.
This is the podcast that takes a deeper look at the sport
with in-depth interviews and special episodes
to keep you entertained and inspired while you're training.
And action.
Hello and welcome to the final part, part three of the Inside Try Show Summer Series 2021. This is a special three-part series to help inspire you to create your own adventure. The idea came about because as you're listening to this, my husband Rich and I should be somewhere on our bikes, cycling from Land's End to John O'Groats. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to reflect this idea of adventure through the podcast as well. I know I found it really hard to switch off over the past 18 months, so this is time to step away from the computer and do what we love doing. A bit of travelling, a lot of cycling, eating, meeting other people, being outside and spending time together. It's about adventure, human power and the simplicity of life. In this three-part series, you are meeting some people who have created their own adventures. So from a DIY bike rafting adventure in the Outer Hebrides of Scotland to a semi-organised 10-day cycling adventure through Great Britain. They're all really good triathletes in their own right as well, which just shows it's okay to step away from the training programme every so often. This week, Susie Richards talked to us about an incredible 52-day cycling trip. So, Susie Richards, explain, what was your adventure?
So I cycled from Bansko in Bulgaria back to Leeds in the UK over 52 days. Yeah, 52 days from September last year, arriving back in November.
How much had you planned? Was it always on the cards?
No, of course not, Helen. I had kind of given myself a bit of a year out of the UK. So in January 2020, I got a job in Spain. So I decided, you know, I need a breather from Leeds and things. So some friends rented my house in Leeds. So I packed up my house. I got a job in Spain teaching. This all happened in like 10 days, so not planned. But I just knew in my mind I wanted to go somewhere. Hey, I'm a teacher. That's a great, you know, can go and work anywhere in the world. So went over there and worked there. I was covering a geography teacher who was off ill, but ended up teaching everything and anyone from A-level through to five-year-olds, which was an interesting experience. And then COVID hit. So the school went in, Spain were a bit ahead of us, so they went into lockdown. And then I actually had a flight, we had a half term, so I had a flight booked for the UK to sort out a few things here. But came back for 4 days, ended up here for 14 weeks, because my flight back got cancelled. So all my possessions are in Spain. I have clothes for 4 weeks, so big shout out to people like Hannah Monday, who sent me cycle shoes in the post. someone else sent me swim costume. Ellie sent me swim costume. So I lived with my mum for 14 weeks in the summer last year. And then I thought, right, my house is rented out for the year. My flatmate in Spain's got COVID. All my stuff's in Spain. The school's in online. I was teaching the Spanish kids from my mum's kitchen table in Somerset. It was all a bit bizarre. But I'd initially thought after teaching for that summer term, I would do some cycle touring in Europe. So I'd always sort of been in my mind. Anyway, I went to Bulgaria, as you do, because at that time, obviously, all the work was online, so I could be anywhere. And Bulgaria was one of the first places that opened up. And I looked and it had a really cool co-working scene. So Bansko is a mountain town and there was this festival happening. I say festival in the loose sense of the word. It was for entrepreneurs and online workers. So it was workshops in the morning and then it was going to be hiking and mountain biking in the afternoon. I thought, this sounds brilliant. Right, I'll go there. So off I went, packed my bag, got on the flight. I missed the festival because I had to quarantine for 2 weeks. So I watched it online, sat in my Bulgarian apartment. Yeah, and then stayed there for 3 months, had a fantastic time, and then thought, right, let's do the cycle tour. It's always been in my mind. I'll just cycle back to the UK. So that's how it came about.
Yeah, that is brilliant. So then when you had the idea to cycle tour back to the UK, did you have your bike out there at the time? Did you have panniers? Like, what was your actual setup?
Yeah, they're not a simple answer to that, Helen, as you can imagine. So I flew to Bulgaria I flew to Bulgaria with just a backpack because all my stuff was in Spain. So my bike was in Spain, but my road bike, my specialised road bike, and also in Spain were my panniers, because as I took them thinking I was going to have a summer adventure and stuff. So all my stuff's in Spain. So I had to fly from Bulgaria to Spain when I was allowed to pick up my bike and panniers and everything. But that bike wasn't really suitable for a big adventure. So I posted that bike back. I found a courier. I'm amazed it made it back, to be honest. When the guys came to pick it up, I was like, am I ever going to see this again? But I did. So I posted that bike back and actually ordered a Kona Rove touring bike because it was something I'd been thinking about. So that turned up. So I made that up, had some panniers, didn't have all the right equipment, but in my mind, I wasn't actually going to be 52 days. I was going to be quicker. I was obviously a lot slower at cycling than I imagined. So it was all of it botched together. I found, got a bike, got panniers, got bits best, posted stuff back to the UK. And yeah, that's how it happened.
How did you plan your route then?
Yeah, lots of people ask me this. So I kind of had a vague idea. Well, you just got to go kind of northeast from Bulgaria. And the most logical route, Bansko is in the southwest. You're going to head northwest. God, you wouldn't know. I'm a geography teacher. Got that one. So I was in the southwest of Bulgaria, very close to the Greek border and the Macedonia border. So I was just like, right, head across to the sea, to Albania, and then just head up the coastline, up through Croatia, Montenegro, and then I'll figure it out from there. That was kind of where I got to. Actually, a few weeks before, someone in Bansko said to me, oh, do you know Fiona? And Fiona is a triathlete at a club in the Midlands, got to know. And she owns a flat in Bansko because it's a popular ski resort. So quite a few Brits have ski flats there. And she was cycling from Croatia to Bansko. So she was kind of doing the opposite of me. So we got in contact and decided to meet in Macedonia. So that was kind of the impetus for me starting. It was like, if I don't get going, I'm going to miss her and she's going to be here. So the first leg was just to find Fiona in Macedonia. And then from there, I literally made up it pretty much every day. I knew the direction, but I don't know if you've used Komoot.
No, I haven't.
That is just the best app for planning routes because it works on your mobile and then you just plan it on your mobile and then you sync it to your cycle computer. So I just did that each morning.
And simple as that?
Yeah, simple as that.
So over a coffee, you'd be saying, right, where am I going to get to today?
Yeah. Yeah, I generally would look for, you know, what looks like a nice campsite. There wasn't, definitely not direct, you know, I kind of wiggled my way around. And the great thing with Komoot, it highlights the highlights. So for me, I wasn't really interested in the cities. I wanted the natural features. And they all pop up. So you can see where the beautiful waterfalls are, the beaches, the mountains. So it was a great way to plan a route.
That's interesting. It's really interesting because, yeah, the cycle touring that we've done, it's been a bit different to that, I'd say. So a bit different. So you've got your route is like each day, so you don't actually... Did you have like the bigger picture idea?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I knew I was heading, you know, get to the UK. So literally look on the map and be like, where do I need to go? So... yeah, I knew I was just going to cross Macedonia, cross Albania and go up the coastline. And then I thought I'd follow the coast because it was really hot. So I wanted to be by the sea. So I had that sorted. And then I was going to go through Montenegro, Croatia, up the coastline. But from there, I wasn't sure. I really wanted to visit Slovenia, which I did do. But the weather was turning because by that point, it was kind of October. And then I had various options. I was planning to go across the Alps. Into Austria. But the weather got really bad at that point. That was when there was quite a lot of flooding. So I took a diversion to Venice, which is like, I think people started, because I had put it on Strava, everyone was like, where are you going? You're going in the opposite direction. I was now heading south. And then from there, I then travelled up through Italy, joined a part of the route you'd been to.
Northern Italy.
Yeah, Northern Italy, crossed into the Alps from the Italian side into Austria, and then from there through Austria to Germany. And then my route really, when I got into Austria, it was really dependent on warm showers.
Okay.
Because the weather got colder and their campsites weren't as good. And also that's when in Europe it started to get like the second wave of potential lockdown. So hostels were all still open, but so I was using Warm Showers, which is a website which you can cycle tourers host other cycle tourers. So I literally would send out a message one day and see if I got responses, and where the positive response came, that's where I was going. So, which all worked amazingly, and I think I only had one night of camping in that section.
Wow. And so was the original plan, Susie, to mix camping and this warm showers?
Yeah. The plan was to use a mixture of warm showers, camping and hostels. I knew I wouldn't camp the whole way, maybe because I was also trying to work as I was travelling. So I had my laptop with me. And I was writing training programmes on Training Peaks and doing coaching courses as I went. I mean, I took the first week off. And lots of people, at that time, everyone was kind of finishing. Well, the problem was people didn't really have a season, right? There's no racing. So what normally September, October are generally downtime. So it didn't matter so much, but people were a bit chomping at the bit because no one had done anything. So I was still writing training programs, sat in my tent or on the beach or whatever, but I needed internet. So I knew I needed to get to hostels every now and again and things.
What's it like doing an adventure, especially at the beginning when you were camping then every day?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a few adventures. The first one I ever did was Land's End John O'Groats when I was 21. And that was with two uni friends. We were all runners, so we went and bought these hybrid bikes. And we thought these were fantastic. We had our trainers on, hybrid bikes, and these cycle shorts from Tesco. We had a two-man tent between the three of us. And we camped every night for a fortnight in a two-man tent. So I've done, you know, a fair bit of camping. And I don't mind camping. But it's easier in warm places. So to start with, it was really hot. That was probably the biggest challenge. And actually camping and finding water is pretty easy because everyone has, there's lots of taps out in the streets. Albania, Macedonia camping was fine, and I had a whole two-man tent to myself, so it felt like luxury. But Yeah, it was finding, there wasn't any, you know, find nice grassy pitches. There's no grass. And I did a lot of wild camping. So I had some interesting places. I camped and actually got a thorn in my foot at one point, which took a while to get out. And, you know, so things like that, you don't think about, like, actually, is there going to be anywhere suitable to camp? Like, it's all rocky or beachy. I mean, and then I found, from Albania, they have a lot of campsites. I found some incredible campsites on the beach. So that was easy.
Would have been like proper campsites rather than wild camping.
Yeah, proper campsites. If I could, I would camp in a campsite. If I couldn't, that's when I wild camped. I always prefer to camp in a campsite because it was so cheap and it just means you can have a shower, which is, yeah.
And what were you actually, okay, so you had your laptop with you, which I don't think many, I don't, maybe they do now, but anyway, what else did you have with you?
Yeah, it wasn't particularly light, to be honest. mainly also because if I hadn't packed it to get couriered back to the UK, my other choice was just to leave it in Bulgaria or to carry it with me. So I had some really random stuff that I'd forgotten to pack in the bag for the UK. I had two panniers, two like big panniers on a pannier rack at the back. And I had my tent on the rolled up, you know, on the rack. And then in my panniers, yeah, I had work, so I had a laptop. But really, it was, I actually left Bulgaria. It was very hot, so I didn't have many clothes. I didn't have a pair of trousers. I just had shorts, two lots of cycle kit, and then some casual clothes. I had 3/4 length running leggings. I didn't use cycle trek shoes. I used trainers with no cleats, okay. Just because I knew I was going to be going pretty slowly, and I only wanted one pair of shoes, and you can't walk around in cleats. You know, also, I was like, I have flat pedals, I had my trainers, and that was fine. And some people are like, oh my God, yeah, it's slower, but I wasn't doing it for a rush. You know, I was going to be, you know, it's slow and steady, enjoying the scenery, taking in the diversions. So, and then I had flip-flops with me as my kind of, yeah. Or my sandals, actually, rather than flip-flops. But yeah, so I had, that was another shoes. And then a tent, I had a sleeping bag, a roll mat. I didn't have my cooking stuff with me because that was in the UK.
So what did you do then to, or not?
Yeah, so it was so hot to start with. I didn't really want to have any hot food anyway. So I generally just stopped and got things off, you know, fruit from the roadside, stores, cafes. I mean, it's just a nice chance to stop in a cafe, have some food. So I'd just buy things. And I mean, there were occasions that I wild camped and I hadn't found shops. I literally just was eating some chocolate and went to bed and woke up like hypo the next morning.
And really hungry.
Really hungry. Really, yeah. I didn't do particularly well with the food the first week, I have to say. I wasn't organised enough. But as soon as I got into, you know, places a bit more up the coastline of Croatia and things, it was easier. Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You said that you had done, obviously, Le Jog and you had camped. Have you ever done it when you're in, say, B&Bs and things like that? And what is the main difference, would you say? What's the advantage of doing it how you did it and not necessarily planning all of your accommodation in advance and going more with the flow?
Yeah. So when the two friends I did Le Jog with, we, the following year, did... from Calais, we got the ferry across from Dover to Calais, and then our plan was to get a ferry back from Rotterdam to Hull. And then we had, and that was it. We really planned each day and planned the place, and we didn't have a tent, so we were doing hostels or Airbnbs. And that is great because it feels safe in that you have a plan and it's a structure and it's a, but yeah, it doesn't allow necessarily for the more spontaneous, oh, this looks interesting down here, should we go down here? But that was in the summer. So if we hadn't have booked, we could have potentially found ourselves somewhere tired after a full day of cycling with no accommodation, which is the worst, really. Like, if you have a tent with you, you always know you've got a backup. But, so yeah, that's, you know, in terms of that, and it depends what you like. If you like planning, that's quite a fun element to it in itself. You know, that's half the journey is doing the planning. I'm not a massive planner in any part of life, so doing the go as you flow is quite fun for me.
And what was it like in the countries that you were in? So like in Macedonia, Bulgaria, because they probably wouldn't be top of everybody's list as somewhere to go. So sell them to us.
Yeah, I will so be back to Macedonia and Albania and Montenegro were incredible. If you like mountains and natural scenery, it is incredible. I didn't know anything really about those countries at all. I'd never been. I mean, it's a really interesting mix because it's like Europe, but not really. You know, there is a real difference. It's super cheap. A lot of those aren't that developed. So it's a real mix. It feels like you're moving between Europe and Asia a little bit. It's interesting. And also, you know, it's not the Western alphabet. It's not the English alphabet. So that in itself, I felt like I was in a different culture. And especially in Macedonia, not many people were speaking English, which is totally fine, you know, and that in itself is, yeah, it's an interesting challenge. So the scenery is amazing. It's renowned for hiking. I didn't know how amazing it was for hiking. So if you want hiking, like, there's some amazing hikes in northern Albania and in Macedonia. And it's really set up. There's campsites and there's just really, so I'd definitely be back for hiking for sure. And then the coastline in Albania, it's basically think of, you know, Greece below, Croatia above it, and no one thinks of Albania, but like it's the same coastline, so it's stunning. And again, cheaper and less people, so it's in my mind fantastic.
You are definitely selling it. And what's it like as a cyclist in those countries?
Yeah, in Bulgaria, because I was in Bulgaria for 3 months, despite having amazing outdoor scenery, there doesn't seem to be that bigger outdoor culture. It always seems like the tourists that are doing the activities more than the locals. So they have a lot of hiking set up and cycling. And the roads were great in general. You just don't see many people out cycling. So it's a bit of a novelty. The same I felt like in Macedonia. Like when people saw me like cycling, they're like, what are you doing? And in Albania, the main issue was there aren't that many roads. So if you want tarmac, it's quite a main road. I had, it was really like a gravel bike. So my tyres were verging on mountain bike tyres, really. Which I purposely did so I could go down some gravel track. But then when you're fully loaded, I was just cursing because my panniers were bouncing around and then they broke. And it was all, I had to tie them up. And so you're trying to get that balance between speed and nice tarmac and getting distance, but being on like a scenic route. And in Albania, yeah, I hadn't really appreciated that. That was kind of the hardest thing in there. But as soon as I got Montenegro the roads were brilliant and it was kind of set up, but the further north I got, the more cycle tourers I saw.
You went on your own, so lone female. Were there any points that you were scared at all or felt a bit frightened?
Yes, absolutely. There were times that I was scared, but thing that I think saved me a lot was I had my headphones and I listened to a lot of podcasts, a lot of audiobooks. And one of the podcasts I listened to, actually, a phrase I really kept with me was, you can feel scared, but you're safe. And I think that really encapsulates it, because the dark scares me. You know, and I'm terrible. I'm terrible at wild camping. So I would get somewhere. I had quite a, and I always ended up wild camping. I didn't really intend to, but I just ran out of daylight and I didn't know where I was. So I just pitched my tent in like a bit of a clearing. And any little rustling, I'm like, oh God, what's that? Because everything's, you know, exaggerated noises. And then I just wake up with a sigh of relief in the morning. I'm not sure what I thought was going to happen to me, because you can't even see my tent in the dark. And who knows, it's me, not a 6 foot tall two guys. You know, no one's ever going to wander up to a random tent. So logically, I'm totally safe, but I am scared. I got better and better. I think it's just like anything. The more you do something. I had one time in Italy, actually, it was the time crossing Italy to Austria. I did over 100 miles plus the Alps, so it was a really big day. And I was staying in an Airbnb, but it got dark, and then I had to choose what I was going to power. So I decided to plug my lights into my power battery pack. And then when I arrived at the village, I didn't have any phone battery, and my power bank had, I rinsed it. So I didn't know where I was staying. I just knew a last message was someone called Maria. So I just was knocking on people's doors asking for a Maria. And there were loads of Marias. Maria's a really common name in Austria. So I was like a proper wild goose chase being sent between houses. And eventually I found it.
Oh, you found the right Maria.
I found it. So I found someone who allowed me to plug my phone in, and it charged, because it was actually died because it was so cold. Because it started snowing as well, so it was dark, it was snowing, and I didn't have any battery. And I charged my phone, it pinged to life, and I found the address, and they sent me on my way. But when I arrived, this lady, Maria, had gone out for night shift. She worked in the hospital. So she just left the door open for me. So I wander into this house. I don't know if anyone else is in the house. I know what room I'm in. Again, I hadn't had any dinner because I completely misjudged it. I just got chocolate. And there I found the bedroom with a note. Hi, Susie. Hope you have a lovely stay. Here's some teas and coffees for you. And there was a little kettle. And I just fell asleep. But in that instance, again, it's like, yeah, I was a bit scared that I'd never find my accommodation. But I think because every time it worked out, it always worked out. So it's through experience you learn, like, it's fine to be scared, but you're safe.
I like that piece of advice. Ooh. I like it a lot. Were there days whereby it just all felt like a struggle?
Yes and no. I think the weather really helped at the start, because everything's better in the sun, right? And so that was okay. There were a few days that we got too hot. But I think that was also the benefit when you're by yourself and you hadn't planned your route. So I didn't have to get anywhere. So that was the other great thing. I was like, if it was hard, I just made it a short day. So that's the benefit of that. So, yeah, there were days that I was like, oh. So I was like, 40 kilometres, done. You know, or I take a rest day. I mean, I did take several rest days. And I think the hardest is, when the weather got worse. I had one cycling through Germany and it was just torrential rain, thunder, lightning. I was soaked to the bone. It was dark. And I was trying to get to a city, was that Heidelberg maybe? And I was just like, and cities are horrible for cycling, the traffic. So there I was a bit fed up.
Are there things that you would definitely, every time you would put in your panniers, you would make sure you had with you, like any top tips in terms of you must take this with you if you are doing some cycle touring? Mm-hmm.
Power bank. Yeah, definitely. Especially now, I think so much is reliant on technology. Like, have rechargeable, everything's rechargeable lights. So definitely rechargeable lights, but then you need the cable and the power bank. My first power bank was meant to be solar powered, but did bugger all with it. I think it just made it hot and that was it. So I had to get a new power bank. That was the other thing. So as I said, what did I pack? I left really light and then I just picked things up as I went. So there was a Decathlon store literally on the cycle path somewhere. So I went in and found some trousers and bought a waterproof top and bought some waterproof overshoes. So I didn't have, I just had what I needed at the time. So when it was hot, I just was in shorts and t-shirt. Then when it got colder, I bought more stuff.
Is there anything that you wouldn't have taken?
I think I pretty much, I think always packing things like sun cream, even if you don't think you're going to need it, because you probably will. You don't need like a blow up pillow, for example. I just roll my clothes up in a little ball and put that as the pillow. A really good roll mat is worth its weight in gold. I had a really rubbishy one and I upgraded it during the route and that made so much difference. So it's worth getting good kit. You don't have much kit, but get good kit that's going to make it comfortable, because you know, you really don't have many comforts. So actually, Helen, I got to a hostel in Slovenia and everything was soaking wet. And I was like, how am I going to dry everything out? There's no drying room, no radiators on. But I had hair dryers. So I started using a hair dryer to dry my trainers. And I kind of forgot about the hair dryer. Just left it in the train. And it melted. It melted a massive hole in the top of my trainers. I was like, oh my God. So I had to go out and buy new trainers for that day. But, I dabbled with the idea of like, maybe that'll be fine. I was like, no, this is stupid. Like, literally, all you have is the clothes in your back and what's in your bag. Like, make it good. So, yeah.
That's hilarious. What other tips would you have, Susie, for, again, maybe someone listening to this who has never done any bike touring, or maybe has just done like a bit of organized stuff, or just likes going on a long ride? What would maybe tip them to actually perhaps going for maybe a weekend or a week or something?
Yeah, I mean, there's no different cycle touring to just going out and having a cycle ride. It's just that you finish somewhere different each day and then start again the next day. So in terms of thinking about risk and it's scary, it's no different. That's what the first thing I'd say. I mean, my first trips I did with friends, and I think that's a great way to start, because we just laughed every minute, you know, just everything's always going, you know, you just laugh together when it goes wrong, when you're trying to find your way. So definitely maybe team up with people. The other side of that, though, is you need to both be on the same page. If one of you wants to be, oh, let's wild camp it in their mind, and the other one's assuming you're going to be staying in the travel lodge, you might have a bit of conflict going on. So you definitely need someone who's on the same wavelength and wants the same thing from you. That's crucial if it's going to work with people. And just start small. People think, oh, I've got to do Land's End John O'Groats to make it, you know, worth it. I think actually, before I did it, my first one, I was living in London and I visited my parents in Bristol. So I just cycled back. That was my first ever one. And obviously that was before smartphones and it's before cycle computers. So I ripped a page out of the A to Z, a couple of pages, which blew away midway in Swindon. And I went by my friend who was studying at Oxford. So stayed with her in Oxford one night, got back and cycled to Bristol. And, you know, you just learn. There's nothing that can prepare you. You just got to do it. So doing that sort of trip is a great start. Start small. And then go where it takes your fancy, I think, is the other thing. Some people think they're these big routes or I have to do this. Like, if actually something really close to you intrigues you, just do that.
Top tips. I love it. And any other tips, Susie, or any other pearls of wisdom?
Yeah, I think a question, you know, females maybe not even have the courage to ask me sometimes. They're like, well, what do you do? Like, how do you manage cycle touring with periods, right? And that's quite a big one. And again, it depends what you're doing. Because for me, I was just going in my own time. So I had no rush. So actually, like, I just took a rest day, you know? Like, why not? Like, lie on the beach, enjoy it, just chill. Like, I don't have to do hardcore cycle touring every single day. So that was a luxury I had because it was a bigger trip. But then in terms of as well, you know, like, I think that's where you need to do be prepared, because, you know, would I have been able to find tampons in Macedonia in totally out in the wilderness? Like, I don't think I would have.
No.
So it is definitely being prepared, even if you don't think, you know, you're going to come on that trip. like, because our bodies, because it's totally different, our bodies do react. So I'd definitely be prepared. I'm a big Moon Cup fan, so that makes cycling so easy. You know, it's like one cup, and you can always, you know, have wet wipes with you, wash it out and things. So yeah, I think that is something I definitely think females do think about, especially for longer trips. Like, how is it logistically even possible? And it is, but it does take some forward planning for sure.
And where's next on your list?
I would like to do some in the UK actually this summer. I'm actually doing some work with Restrap, and I would love to do some bike packing for beginner trips. So we've got a few trips lined up. Just come along and have a weekend. I'd like to do some in Scotland, but I would like to go to South America is on my list. I would like a big trip in South America for sure.
That's been on my list for a while. Susie, thank you so much for everything, for sharing your expertise, for sharing your stories, and for probably inspiring a few people and probably making a few people Google Albania.
Yeah, definitely. Albania, Montenegro, head there.
That is Susie Richards, who cycled back to the UK from Bulgaria in 2020. I have put plenty of links in the show notes over at insidetrishow.com, so you can find out more about Susie's trip and the co-working space in Bansko. And if this has inspired you to create your own adventure maybe, or you want to tell me about an adventure that you've done like this, then let me know. Drop me an email, helen@insidetrishow.com, or you can reach out on social media @insidetrishow. If you haven't heard part one or part two of this summer series, then go and check them out. You can join Holly Leonard on her bike rafting trip in the Outer Hebrides in part one. And then in part two, Jordan Blanco will talk you through her semi-organized cycling adventure from Land's End to John O'Groats. And if you've enjoyed this episode, then please tell someone else by sharing it on social media. It really does make a huge difference. Right, look after yourself, and we'll catch up again soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.